We are on this series titled Stepping Out. Everybody say Stepping Out. And we're in Hebrews chapter 11. I hope that you're reading and praying. And one of the things I want to encourage you is as you read Hebrews chapter 11 and you come across a particular character that is being highlighted, go find in the Bible where their story actually unfolded and read the stories, because you'll get so much more out of it. And filling yourself with the Bible is so important. And a faith is where it's at. And I'm going to tell you why, because the Bible says without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Anybody here want to please God today? Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. You feel a little sleepy to me today. I get it, but let's wake up. Come on, let's praise Jesus for a minute. I want to know you're here. Hallelujah. Pastors can say that, you know. So today, we're going to be looking at the most obvious, in a way, the most challenging part of faith. Today, we're going to be looking at the one person in the Bible who's actually called the father of faith. And he was the father of faith because of the depth of stepping out that he put on display for all of us. He lived for God in such a powerful way. And I want to read it to you. In a nutshell, this all of these different characters, like I said, it's slices of a pie or it's layers of a cake, but it really, the main manifestation of faith you see here, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 8, says this: by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though, everybody say even though. Even though. Even though he did not know where he was going. So if you're studying this, that's that little phrase that's great for you to underline, because this is what made him the father of faith. This is the height. This is like the highest form or manifestation in a way of faith. It says, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Abraham was the one in the Bible who, in a way, taught us that the real great adventure of life is found in following God. It's all about following God. Whether we know it, whether we understand it, whether we have all of the details, there was something about him. He just followed the Lord. And faith is all about following God. The title of today's message is Faith Follows. Everybody say, Faith Follows. And you know what? If you want to please God on this side of heaven, you have to follow God. How many want to follow God? Faith follows. And this is such a precious story, should be so precious to us. This should be so special to us, because Abraham wasn't a perfect guy. Abraham made lots of mistakes. And yet, he was so regarded by the Lord because he followed the Lord. He went after God. Someone reminded me this week, I love The Lord of the Rings. You know how The Lord of the Rings starts? is Bilbo starts running. He's saying, they say, where are you going, Bilbo? He says, I'm going on this great adventure. And can I tell you, when you accept Jesus, you're going on a great adventure. How many want to live out the great adventure that's found in Jesus? And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no better life than following Jesus. Nothing better, nothing greater, nothing more supernatural, nothing more surprising and spectacular. There's something about the stories that you get to tell because you lived a life of following God. And I want to pray today, and I really want to ask the Lord to give us the grace to follow him, like Abraham. Remember, he left his people. He left his land. He went to a place that he didn't even know where he was going. But he just went. And he offered, if you read the story, he even put his own son on the altar. He went and rescued his nephew. He went against like a band of marauders. Like a king, he fought great fights of faith. Abraham was an amazing man of God. And you know why? It's because he followed God. I prayed so much for you. I prayed that you would be following God. There's nothing better than following the Lord. And I want to pray that God would help us to follow him. Okay, no matter where you are, no matter what your business is, no matter what your vocation, true faith follows the Lord. And so if you're watching online, you know, we talked about redirection. And it is amazing. I'll say this before we pray. You see, whenever you redirect your life in terms of making decisions, when you redirect and you align with God and you follow God, one redirection to follow God, to live for God, it might take a little while, but that shift, it changes everything. That shift starts to fix things. That shift starts to resolve things. That shift starts to release blessing in your life. That one shift of just following God without the answers, without the plan, without the full understanding, without a contract. How many know there's no contract with God? He's in charge and that's it. Like my father used to say, that's it. Right? But that one shift to follow God, no matter where you find yourself today, you need to understand that when we make that shift to follow God, then God starts to work in our lives in powerful ways. And it might be difficult at times, it might be challenging at times, but surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. That one shift will make all of the difference. And then we will stand before him and we won't be ashamed. We'll be ready to receive our reward. How many want to live for that city and where God is the architect of that place? We're not living for here, we're living for there. Live for heaven, live for the day that you see him face to face. I'm telling you right now, let your eyes rise higher than just what's in front of you. Abraham was looking forward to a different city. How many are looking for that city? So let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we know you're real. We know you're with us. We know that you have a perfect plan for our lives. The steps of the righteous are ordered by God. And God, Lord, those your will unfolds and your will is fulfilled as we follow you. It's not how smart we are or how clever or how gifted. Lord, it's about how we follow you by faith. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your grace would reach deep into every heart today. I pray, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, whether people are in this room or even watching online, God, I pray for a deep transaction, a deep surrender as we were singing. Lord, that our hallelujah would be a life of surrender, Lord. Oh, Lord, would you bless this word, God? Would you give us a life, a heart, eyes that rise above the American dream? God, would you give us a viewpoint that rises above, Lord, the immediate current context of our days? Lord, heaven and earth will pass away, but whoever does your will live forever. And God, help your people to live forever. Help us, Lord, to be like Abraham. God, whatever it takes, our hearts are open. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening today. Teach us to follow you. Young people, single people, Lord, people who are struggling, people in difficulty, people who are successful. May our hearts be redirected to follow you today. Bless this word, God. I pray for grace. Who's sufficient for these things, Lord? I pray for grace today. We love you, we praise you, and we want to go on this great adventure. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So look, I want to say two things that really will help us to follow God, and I want to really respond to God and pray today. But let me say this before I make a couple points here. What we're talking about today is the secret to being led by the Spirit. You see, the Bible says that we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The kingdom of God is real. There's a lot of voices going around, but the Spirit of God is speaking. The Spirit of God is working. And if you have a heart to follow God, you will be led by the Holy Spirit. When you're led by the Holy Spirit, then powerful things are released and made manifest. You see, God wants to lead you by the Holy Spirit. Does anybody here want to be led by the Holy Spirit? Okay, then we've got to, yes, we got to live like Abraham. Abraham followed God, and look at the kind of, these are the two, there are many, but these are two key standout points that describe what it means to follow God. So first of all, what is following? Following is obeying without knowing. Following is obeying without knowing. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, following is a long obedience. And when you look at the life of Abraham, Abraham followed God. He left his home. He left where he was making money. He left his career. He left all sorts of, he left his friends. He left his sense of security. And he just followed the word of the Lord, even though he didn't know where he was going. You see, it is very American to say, I demand all of the details. And look, if you're in business and you're doing a contract, then you should demand all the details. But don't forget that when you're dealing with God, we're talking about something different. We're talking about the king of your life. We're talking about the creator of the universe. And when God ministers to your heart, you're like, what are you talking about? I'm telling you that God speaks to those who are willing to listen. God speaks to those who are willing to follow. How does he do it? He does it through his word. He does it by his spirit. Spirit. He does it through people. If you're open, you will begin to hear the voice of God. But God speaks to those who follow. God speaks to those who don't demand all the details. Where you lead me, I will follow. You know, it's so funny because I've told people over the years, I've noticed that the nose of God can be so clear if we'll just listen. It's like guy meets a girl meets a guy. The Holy Spirit says, no. They're like, oh, God didn't really say that. Like, think about the king of the universe. He just said no, and you know he said no. So how do you know this God? It's a lot of times it's just when he says no. It's like, God told me no, right? So guess what? God doesn't just say no. God also says yes. But sometimes when he says yes, he's saying, walk through the door and trust me. Just trust me. Don't take the job that pays the most money. Take this job. Sometimes it might be, it's better for your family. It's better for your life. It's better for this. But sometimes it's like, don't go there. Go here. The Holy Spirit is able to communicate with us. But here's the unique thing about Abraham. See, God gave Abraham Abraham took God's word and gave God's word total authority over his life. In other words, for Abraham, his word was enough. For Abraham, if God said it, that's it. You know, God said this, then this is what it is. Then this is what I'm going to do. The Bible says, and the next day off he went. Now that is so foreign to our context and to our culture because we are raised to be independent people. And I want to encourage you to know the difference between when you should be independent and when you shouldn't. The whole world shouldn't control you. You shouldn't be controlled. You should have your own mind. But how many know when it comes to the word of God, don't you agree that there should be total obedience to the word of God? Could I get a strong amen for that? Because somebody, there should be total obedience to the word of God. God is right, and whenever you don't agree with God, you are wrong. Okay? God is always right. If you don't agree with God, you may not understand it, but you're wrong. And I've learned that the hard way. So following, he followed, even though he obeyed, he just gave authority to God's word. And I want to encourage you, recognize how powerful the voice of God is and say, speak, Lord, because I give your word total authority over my life. If you want to follow God, that's principle number one. I don't need all of the details. I just need you to say go. For Abraham, his word was enough. You know what's cool about this is that when you get the word of the Lord, it makes you stubborn in the best way. So when you get the word of the Lord, people will criticize you. Or people will say, why are you doing that? You know, and typically the word of the Lord is the long-term win, not the short-term win. And a lot of times in order to get the really follow God, you have to forsake temporary victories and pleasures for the sake of the long-term victory. And then even people close to you say, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Don't do that. Say, I have to do this. You know why? Because I'm following God. You know, when I first got married, my dad came from Cuba. He worked 3 jobs. He said, no. He worked a couple of jobs. Then he worked his whole life in a factory. And everybody in my neighborhood lived on, like, it was a scam. There were so many people scamming the government, living on welfare checks. And I wonder if they do that today. No, let's not get into that. So, but my father, used to say to me, I mean, I'm talking about like this. He used to say, this is the greatest country in the world. I will work 3 jobs. This is a land of opportunity. If you work, you can eat. In Cuba, even if you worked, you couldn't eat. And he used to say, I won't take welfare. I will work. So my family, that was a taboo. So I had a job working at the Twin Towers, making decent money, had a possibility to go up. God calls me to go to Bible school, fall in love with that beautiful girl right there. We go by faith. We go work at a Bible college. I'm making $55 a week. She made $75. And guess what? Annie's formula was bought with WIC, public assistance. And I remember my mother saying, you give up baseball. You give up this job what are you doing? You know? And I'll say, Ma, you know, I'm just trying to follow God. One day. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible says no one who gives up mother, father, sister, brother, houses, and lands for the sake of God will fail to receive 100-fold in this life and the life hereafter. How many know? No matter what you give up now to follow God, He will blow your mind at the way He blesses you and uses you and gives you the amazing adventure that you're supposed to have. How many want to live the great adventure of faith? Come on, somebody say amen. And so look, it's simple. It's really simple. We were in Philly, and Susie and Josh came over, and they have this little dog, Oliver. And Oliver was running around our house, and he got by the stairs. And I don't really know Oliver. It's the first time I met him, I think, and second time. So anyway, he's about to go down the stairs. And I was scared for him because he's so little. And I went, Oliver, come! And you know what? He just went like this, and he ran right over. And Susie was like, man, dogs listen to men more than they listen to women. He responded to some authority in my voice, right? And let me tell you something. I thought, Lord, make me like Oliver. Right? Make me like Oliver, Lord. Like, help me to respond to the authority of your voice. How many want to hear the voice of God? Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. God speaks. Remember, God knows everything. So God speaks. If He knows, you're going to listen. And so when you give God's voice, His word, authority, it'll make you focused. It'll do all of these things. And by the way, listen to what the Bible says about obedience, right? In John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will, everyone, obey my commands. So part of following God is an expression of love. God, if you say it, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what you say. And I want to encourage you, start with what is abundantly clear. And if you are good at obeying what is abundantly clear, you know, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, right? So you go to work, and I don't know, they've got whatever it is, you know, they got special snacks there. I might be tempted to steal a snack myself, right? So let's say a snack. And it's like the snacks are for the staff, and you keep taking snacks home. And the Holy Spirit says, buy your own snacks. Stop taking the snacks home. Okay? So if you don't stop taking the snacks home, don't expect God to speak to you at Key Crossroads. Because if you won't obey the obvious, then why do you believe that you will obey even weightier things? And that's why we got to learn the Word of God and we've got to follow the Word of God. Because the more you follow God, because it like, and look, if you fail to obey God, just repent, ask God to forgive you, but get back on the follow obedience track. Because when you get on the follow obedience track, that's the way Abraham was, and he wasn't perfect. But he did follow God and obey God. And it's the last thing I'll say on this. You know, there's so many definitions of success, right? So many definitions of success. And I could have, I'm not even gonna read, I could give you six or seven of them. But you know, in my mind, when you look at the life of the great men and women of faith, I kind of see success like this. This is the way I feel, right? If I became successful, but I couldn't really say, God is the one who did that for me, I would feel very disappointed. Like faith says, I want God to do it for me. I want God to lead me there. And I want God to give me what he has for me. And I don't want what God doesn't have for me. How many get what I'm talking about? See, the reason why we need to pray today is because the human heart struggles at that level. But I want to pray today, God, help me to rejoice in what you have for me and help me to give up what you don't have for me. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. You see, the dad who was worshiping over there and he's seeking God, I'm telling you right now, that little girl, she's gonna grow up one day and she's gonna say, my daddy followed God. He wasn't perfect, but my daddy was a man after God's own heart. How many want that said of us with our friends, with our families? And so faith follows without understanding. It says, you know, doing research for another sermon, in the 1400s to the 1700s, the samurai code has stood out in history as this incredibly disciplined group of warriors. And one of the things in their code, it used to say this, obey even when the end is unknown. That's what makes a holy warrior, is that we obey even when the end is unknown. Drink that in for a second. Okay, if they could send me a keyboard player. Obey even when the end is unknown. Where you lead me, I will follow. It doesn't matter what I want what you want. Come on, close your eyes for a second. I got another point to make, but let's let it sink in. Lord, you choose for me. You choose my career. You choose, you know, like my wife was praying about this year, show Chrissy, show us, Lord, show Pastor Tim, show all of the leaders, God, show every person here, show the single mom and the single dad. Lord, you choose where you lead me, I will follow. Make us like Abraham, Lord. Oh, speak, Lord, your servants are listening, God. Not my will, your will be done, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So faith, is following and obeying without all of the details, without a full understanding. You know, I can tell you right now, this church wouldn't even be here if it was about details, you know, because at the point that we came, like, we could have taken a job. We were actually offered two jobs. And this one is, we didn't know anybody here. We didn't know how we were gonna, Chrissy was filling out a application for, to work, you know, at a clothing store. And I had a friend at UPS. What was our plan? We're just gonna move there. I'll work for UPS. And it never happened because within a week, see, you know, people always tell me, stop apologizing for personal references. And I'm conflicted about it because I don't want you ever to think that I think I'm the hero of the faith. I don't have a cape. I struggle and all of the above. So, but I can tell you, you know, that I have had to live by faith. And so, you know, I was praying about 3 weeks before we came here. And the Lord gave me a promise out of the Bible. It's like 4 a.m. The Lord gave me a promise out of the Bible. And I remember when I finally spoke to Chrissy that day, I said, God gave me a promise. He gave me a promise that we're gonna have a couple of sticks to rub together and start some heat. And like, I don't know where they're gonna come from, but it's gonna start fast, honey. God gave me a promise. And sure enough, like, we moved here. We didn't know anyone. Someone heard about us. And a group of people came to our house. And within the week, we weren't even here a week. They came to us, hey, would you come preach for us? I went preach. They offered us the church. They had tried to start a church. It didn't go. The pastor left. It was just like a becoming group on Sundays. And then they said, take over our church. We said, no, we're here to start the Chicago Tabernacle. If you guys want to join in, great. We don't know where we're starting. They say, start right here. I said, well, you're going to have to shut your church down, you know, because we're going to do it with the best light that we have, the way God is leading us. That's why we're here. We're here to do God's will here in a certain way. And so guess what? This little group of people, they voted. They shut down. We came here January 6th, February 17th or so. Chicago Tabernacle was born. You know why? It's because when God tells you to do something, He will back up His word. You don't have to have the details worked out. You can't tell God how to figure out. Don't try to figure out the miracle. Just know the one who sends you has miracle working power. Hallelujah. Never in my wildest dreams could I still walk in here. I'm like, oh, snap. Because I know I didn't do this. We didn't do this. The Lord did this. You know, and let me tell you something. There's nothing God can't do for you if you follow Him. Follow the Lord. Do it God's way. If you do it God's way, I'm telling you right now, He's not a respecter of persons. He will put His eye on you. He will put His hand on you. Say, there's my daughter. There's my son. He will fight for you. He will bless you. He will block for you. He'll do everything for you. Hallelujah. But you got to follow God. And that means you obey Him. Here's the second thing, and then we're going to close very quickly. Let me read this to you one more time so I can make the second point, right? Look at this. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And then part two to this is here, right in the word. By faith, everybody say by faith. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. He did A, B, and C, all of these things, right? Here's the second thing about faith following, right? Following God means that we learn to live at home in the promise of God. Okay? Real faith lives in the promise of God. So when you're on your way, even until it's fulfilled, just because God said it, you live in the promise of God. That's what he did. You understand? And all of the patriarchs, God told them to do something, and while they were on their way, they learned how to live in the promise of God. Someone said it this way, and I think it's fantastic. Okay? Faith can play among the ruins of life. The Bible says, unless you become like a child, right? You can't, your faith needs to be like a child. Look, here's a picture of some kids in Syria, right? You see these kids? They live in such a war-torn country. But guess what? When they grow up, he said, yo, I'm getting on my bike and I'm gonna go play. And you're like, oh my goodness. You know? Oh my goodness. But you know what these kids? These kids, they're playing tag. They're doing their thing because sometimes life is hard. Sometimes it's difficult. I got a picture the other day, a video of my granddaughter playing in this, like, such a nice park. I was laughing, thinking about this. I played so many times in a junkyard, you know. Can I tell you something? Sometimes we Americans think everything has to be perfect for us to be happy. But faith says, I'm in the will of God and God is good. Hallelujah. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I'm going to enjoy this day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. We only have Franken beans, but we're still going to laugh at the table. Things are going hard, but I'm in the will of God. All that I need to know is that I'm in the will of God. If I'm in the will of God, all is well. Better to be in the will of God than to be in palaces with kings. I just want to be with Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Come on, you got to learn how to laugh and play among the ruins of life, because life is not always perfect. Don't be one of those people who blames God the minute things go wrong. Goes bad for Job, and he says, shall we accept good from the Lord and not bad? This ain't heaven, brothers and sisters. This ain't heaven. Ain't. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. So just because your life is not perfect doesn't mean you can't praise him if you're in the will of God. When you get in the will of God, it's all good. I'll close with this real quick. You know, I learned a lesson about this from Pastor Simba. Pastor Simba taught me this actually a couple years before before we came here. I was on staff, and we have some missionary friends. They're very close to Pastor Tim, David and Linda Ortiz. David is a Puerto Rican guy from New York. Was dramatically saved, married a Jewish girl. Felt called to be a missionary to Israel. Has been there for more than 30 years, right? And so I remember talking to Dave because they were sent out by the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and things were so bad in Israel. And I got off the phone and I go into Pastor Simler's office. And I was like, Pastor Simler, we got to get them out of there. It's so dangerous. We got to get them out of there. And I remember the moment where Pastor Simler said, no. Like, he was like, no, Al, don't touch that. It marked my life. He was like, you've got to let people like that, you got to let them follow God. You know? And he was like, you can't tell people not to live in the promise of God. So here's the interesting thing. So 3 or 4 years later, during the Feast of Purim, you know, they give gifts. It's the celebration of the story of Esther. So they give gifts in Israel during the Feast of Purim, and a gift was brought to their house. His son Ami was about 16 years old, got a gift. He opens the gift. It was a bomb. And it blew up right in front of him. And it just turns out that there was a soldier, heard the blast, ran in, and literally saved his life. He ended up having 6 or 7 surgeries. And this story was all over the news, all over the world it went. And it just turns out that I was with Pastor Tim yesterday, and his name is Ami. Ami's getting married in August. And, you know, he had many surgeries. He went through so much. But he's a man of God, and he's married a woman of God. And David and Linda have remained so faithful to God, and God used them so much through that. You know, remember, God said to Abraham, put your son on the altar. I'm not talking too strong, and I'm telling you, whatever God asks you to do, he will give you the grace to do it. You're like, I could never do that. Yes, you could. You could do whatever God asks you to do, because he'll give you the grace to do it. He'll give you the grace to sacrifice. He'll give you the grace to surrender. He'll give you the grace to do things that don't even fit in your mind today. And sure enough, and here's the thing, I'm telling you right now, if David were speaking today, we got to bring David to preach here. If they were preaching, right? I'm telling you right now, 30% of his message at least, you would be laughing so hard you might fall out of your seat. He's the funniest Puerto Rican guy. He's got the Jewish mannerisms, and he's so funny. And you know what? Even though tragedy struck their family, David never stopped laughing. They never stopped rejoicing in the goodness of God, because they know that on that day, there is a great reward. I want to challenge you to live for that reward. I want to challenge you to live for something higher. I'm telling you, if you get in this space, God is going to start to speak to you. You won't just be 1 of 8 billion. You'll be a person who's getting the word of the Lord for your life. And I want to pray that we would be the kind of people that follow God. Would somebody say, yes, Lord, help us to follow you, Lord Jesus.